First of all, I want to say thank you for those who pray for those who bring the message, because I think it's so important, and I'm very conscious of that. And God spoke to me through the little quiet time that we had together, do not be afraid, I am with you. And I certainly need to know that. This message came to me as I witnessed quite a spectacular sunset through my lounge window a while ago. And when I see something beautiful, I've got to share it. And I have been known to ring up the Browns over here and say, go and look at the sunset, because I know that Philip has to have the curtains closed and so they wouldn't see it. But this particular time I called Tatiana, who many of you will know, lived at my place for 2 years. And I said, come up, you've got to have a look at this sunset. It's really quite unusual, quite spectacular. So she brought her camera up and she took a photo. I'm not sure how it'll come up on the screen, but can we try it? Yes. You can maybe see it. It's not quite as bright as it was out of my window. Perhaps we pull the blinds down a little bit. Yeah. Yeah, I think that brings it up a bit more. It was really quite unusual. It was like waves coming in, golden waves. Yes. The strange thing was that as we looked across at the other side of the sky, there were black, billowing black clouds. And I felt the Holy Spirit was giving me this message on what do we focus. We got the black clouds? Yes. She took that photo with her cell phone as well. So there was a contrast. The very next morning, in my daily Bible reading with Every Day with Jesus, I read, the verse was from that from John that was read this morning. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And the following Bible notes had this to say. The commonplace of life make us either common or Christian. It continued. A successful businessman with a large house and a big bank balance was asked by his wife to look out of the window at the beautiful sunset. This was the morning after I'd seen the spectacle. I don't think it was any coincidence. For a few minutes, the businessman, looked at the red streaks in the sky and then remarked, yes, lovely. It reminds me to ask the cook that my bacon should be more streaky. He turned a radiant sunset into a reminder of bacon. We can either make the glorious commonplace or the commonplace glorious, depending on whether we are willing to bring God into all that happens in our lives, even our pains. To be able to use our pains, this is transformative. The one who gave us this power is indeed the light of the world. One of my favourite passages from Paul's letters is the one that was read this morning. More particularly these words, I have learned to be content in whatever the circumstances. I know what it means to be in need, and I know what it means to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or want. For I can do everything through him who gives me the strength. Key words there. Or, I think in the Authorized Version, it says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Right, I'll find the right page here. Paul indeed had found the secret of living in the radiance of God's presence, regardless of the circumstances. No, and I have to say, it's not easy. I'm well aware of that. In Paul's words, I have learned the secret. These are key words that I believe. Some people seem to learn more quickly than others. I confess that I have been a slow learner. But when we are thrown into at the deep end, then we have to learn fast. Jesus tells us that in this world we will have trouble. In the authorized version, we will have tribulation. Yes. But take heart, he says, because he has overcome the world. Read that again. Jesus tells us that in the world we will have trouble, but to take heart, for he has overcome the world. Recently, I was speaking to a checkout person in my local supermarket. I noticed she was limping with a crutch. I asked her what she had done to herself. I hadn't seen her for several years. She told me she had had her leg amputated through a road accident. We then got into a lengthy conversation in the supermarket aisle, as you do. And she told me that the surgeons did not think she would live. She had more than a smashed up leg. She had other injuries as well. She said she had been determined throughout her long recovery, 4 years in fact, and many surgeries, not to feel sorry for herself, but to focus only on the things she had to be thankful for. I told her I would tell her her story to my church family, which I'm doing now, as I felt it was very inspiring. I was talking to her just a couple of days ago at the supermarket, and I said, it's a Sunday, I'm going to be telling your story to our church family. I've been worshipping for nearly 40 years in this parish, in this church. And in that time, I have to say that I have been inspired by many people who have transformed the dark clouds of suffering, pain, and heartbreak into something beautiful. Infinitely beautiful, proving the truth of Jesus' words that whoever follows him will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. I want to share one of those stories with you now, and I have Jean's permission, Jean. Keith, Jean's son, I got to know many years ago when he was diagnosed with a neurological condition similar to that of motor neuron. He was only 22 at the time. Jean brought Keith to church in a wheelchair when his condition worsened and he lost the ability to walk. The Sunday school children would gather around his wheelchair after their class to use a special machine, his ticker tape. He was able to print off messages on the ticker tape, and the children loved it. He printed out messages, he printed out their names on this tape. They were fascinated. Some of us here from Brooklands would take Keith out quite often in his wheelchair, and we would have fun with him. He maintained such a wicked sense of humour. I could tell you some stories of our trips out with the wheelchair. Yeah, he was a real character. When Keith died at the age of 28, I was asked by his family to speak on behalf of our church at his funeral. I remember looking out the window and praying for the right words to use in relation to Keith's life. There was a pitch black sky, and as I gazed out of the window, there was a brilliant rainbow arched across the black sky. And I knew that this was an illustration of Keith's life, a life that maintained an overarching brilliance against the dark background of his physical condition. Thank you, Jean, for letting me tell that story, allowing me to tell that story. One of the Old Testament characters who has impressed me over the years by his ability to turn setbacks into stepping stones is that of Joseph. He is most likely more known by people outside the church because of Andrew Lloyd Webber's famous musical, Joseph and His Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, which was Andrew Lloyd Webber's first musical to be performed publicly. I sometimes think that Joseph gets a bit of a bad rap as being a rather obnoxious young man. Yes, maybe he was a bit naive or just a little immature. After all, he was only 17 when we first find him subjected to his brother's jealousy as recorded in Genesis. He was his father's favourite son, it would seem, and rather spoilt, thus his fancy coat, as the Authorised Version puts it. Maybe he was a little unwise in describing to his brothers the two dreams he had regarding the future, dreams that indicated that not only his brothers, but also his mother and father would one day bow down to him, suggesting, I guess, that they would be subservient or dependent on him. I suppose it was not surprising that this revelation only inflamed his brother's jealousy. I have four sons, and I must say, at 17, if the only cause I had to be concerned about them was that one of them had shared his dreams with the others, I would have been well pleased. Enough said. As many of you will know, Joseph is sold into slavery by his brothers and taken to Egypt, where he is purchased by Potiphar, one of Pharaoh's personal staff. And again, it seems that he could do no wrong, and he was put in charge of the administration of Potiphar's household. No sign of bitterness or resentment in regard to the unfairness of the situation. No wallowing in the black clouds of despair or self-pity, but living in the light of God's presence. Some of you, I'm sure, have experienced the deep hurt that sometimes happens when we are falsely accused of doing something that we'd not been responsible for. And I know I did. Several times as a child, and at least once in my adult life. The hurt goes deep, and at one time I had to deal with the held grudges in regard to some of the childhood experiences, especially as it had been adults who had levelled the blame at me and not believed my protestations of innocence. Fortunately, my mum and dad believed me, and that helped a lot. The story of Joseph as recorded in Genesis is far too long for us to read this morning, but I chose a reading from Genesis chapter 39 because I thought it showed most graphically Joseph's response to the unwarranted accusations. So just let us listen while Brian and Gillian read this to us and see how Joseph dealt with this difficult situation.
Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt. Potiphar, an Egyptian, who was one of Pharaoh's officials, the captain of the guard, brought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him there. The Lord was with Joseph so that he prospered, and he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. when his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord gave him success in everything he did, Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant. Potiphar put him in charge of his household, and he entrusted to his care everything he owned. From the time he put him in charge of his household and of all he owned, the Lord blessed the household of the Egyptian because of Joseph. The blessing of the Lord was on everything Potiphar had, both in the house and in the field. So Potiphar left everything he had in Joseph's care. With Joseph in charge, he did not concern himself with anything except the food he ate. Now Joseph was well built and handsome. And after a while, his master's wife took notice of Joseph and said,
"Come to bed with me."
But he refused. "With me in charge," he told her, "my master does not concern himself with anything in the house. Everything he owns, he has entrusted to my care. No one is greater in this house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God?" And although she spoke to Joseph day after day, he refused to go to bed with her or even be with her. One day he went into the house to attend to his duties, and none of the household servants was inside. She caught him by his cloak and said,
"Come to bed with me."
But he ran, left his cloak in her hands, and ran out of the house. When he saw that he had left his cloak in her hands and had run out of the house, she called her household servants.
"Look," she said to them, "this Hebrew has been brought to us to make sport of us. He came in here to sleep with me, but I screamed. When he heard me scream for help, he left his cloak beside me and ran out of the house."
She kept his cloak beside her until his master came home. Then she told him this story.
"That Hebrew slave you brought us came to me to make sport of me, but as soon as I screamed for help, he left his cloak beside me and ran out of the house."
When his master heard the story his wife told him, saying,
"This is how your slave treated me,"
he burned with anger. Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. But while Joseph was there in the prison, the Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. So the warden put Joseph in charge of all those held in the prison, and he was made responsible for all that was done there. The warden paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care, because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did.
I felt that this story revealed the depth of Joseph's trust in his God and his refusal to let the abject unfairness of his situation shake his faith and drag him down into the black clouds of despair. In fact, Joseph was imprisoned for 2 full years after this, until he was called to interpret Pharaoh's dreams that there would be 7 years of plenty followed by 7 years of famine, both throughout Egypt and Canaan, where his family lived. Most of us know the end of this story. Joseph's persistent faith and trust in his God resulted in not only the Egyptians being saved, but his own family and the nation of Israel. In my Bible, I have a profile of all the key characters, and under Joseph's strengths and accomplishments, it has this to say. He rose in power from slave to ruler of Egypt. He was known for his personal integrity. He was a man of spiritual sensitivity, and he prepared a nation to survive a famine. We have remembered again over recent weeks the Easter story and the one who triumphed over the horrors of crucifixion and the failure of his closest friends to support him. We read in the Gospels that darkness fell across the entire land from noon until 3 PM as Jesus suffered on the cross. But on the third day, the glorious resurrection. So let his light and his love reverberate in your souls, in our souls. Can we just have... So on what do we focus? Black clouds? Or the beauty all around us, the beautiful sunset, the light of the world? Thank you.